has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Sunday worship service is at 11:30 a.m. Sunday YPWW is on Zoom at 6 p.m. Tuesday night Bible study and Friday joy night are on Zoom at 7 p.m. Morning prayer is Monday through Saturday on the Johnson Temple prayer line at 9:30 a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ of Leesville, Louisiana.
This is KAYT-FM, 881 Gina, Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood, Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And we will read two verses of this chapter, starting at verse 34 and 35. For jealousy is a rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou giveth him many gifts. I want to talk today on the subject, what jealousy will do. What jealousy will do. It was just a few years ago that I was in the Bahamas preaching, and I received the shocking news, a telephone call, that you have just won a national award for spoken word in St. Louis, Missouri. Voted on by gospel DJs all across the United States. And you are now called Preacher of the Year. I didn't know what to believe when my manager called me and told me this. At the time I was on the contract with Atlanta International Records. I said, for what? They said, on a sermon you preach, what jealousy will do. Then I looked at the Stella Award, and I looked at it to see my name on the television, spoken word, Reverend Timothy Fleming, what jealousy will do. I think I understand why people wanted that sermon, because there's so much jealousy going on. Among all great things that the Bible about, I think in my own opinion that this sin, jealousy, is worse than them all. Howard Thurman says that jealousy is like acid. It eats a hole in the container that's holding it. Wester said that jealousy is an unpleasant fear that arises from resentment of others. Suspiciousness. You can't sleep at night. Some of the signs of jealous people are that they can't rest. Two things will happen to a jealous person. They will oversleep or they won't sleep. Two things will happen to a person when they're jealous. They will not eat or they will eat too much. Usually when people are worried and nervous, they will eat or not eat. Now I want you to understand what jealousy really means and how dangerous it is. The first sin that took place, I think, that was ever created. If Satan created anything, number one, it was jealousy.
All right. All right.
Did you know that the very first sin that Satan really committed was not that he went against God so much, but when it started in his heart, it was jealousy. Go to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 14. What was the first sin? Satan said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Satan had I will problem. And usually that would mess people up. I will. Nobody else involved. I. Lord, bless me, Billy Joe, and no more. He said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. He wanted to be above God. God had heaven, and the devil wanted it. And did you know that heaven tore up over jealousy? I mean, heaven split up over jealousy. The devil, Lucifer, became Satan, envious of God. And if it will tear up heaven, don't you know it'll tear up a church? If jealousy will tear up heaven, don't you know it'll tear up a home? If jealousy will tear up heaven, don't you know it'll get you fired off your job? The devil was jealous of God.
Amen.
I used to wonder when I was a child why people were so jealous. Being a little 10 or 11 year old boy preacher. And all the preachers used to advise me and make them, son, study, son, go to school, son, be a great preacher. And some of those preachers, I started studying and I started getting a little better preaching. Then they started acting funny. And I went to my old pastor, a friend who was living at the time, Reverend Dantley. And I asked Reverend Dantley, I said, Reverend Dantley, what am I doing to make preachers fight me so hard? I'm doing what they told me to do, and now they act a little funny. I preach a little bit, and they won't say nothing, just roll their eyes. He said, come here, son. Look out the window. He said, what do you see out there? I said, I see two trees. He said, well, what kind of trees? I said, well, I see a chinaberry tree and a pecan tree. Some of y'all don't know about chinaberry tree. He said, well, what do you see in those trees? I said, well, in the chinaberry tree, I don't see nothing. I said, but in the pecan tree, I see sticks. I look like I see a bottle up there. He said, there your answer. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'll tell you like this, son. Nobody throws at chinaberries because don't nobody won't eat them. But everybody throws at the pecan tree because they want some pecan. So when people are throwing at you, you got something they want. If people are talking about you, you're somebody important.
Amen.
Nobody pay any attention to a bomb. I mean, a drunk man can get in a fight on the corner, the police even drive by. They don't want it. But you let it get out that me and the deacon got in a fight. And we'll be on Good Morning America. So when people are paying attention to you and throwing at you and always after you, you just happen to have some pecan. jealousy do? Jealousy will make you turn on your best friend. Jealousy will make kinfolk turn on each other. Let's throw some Bible on it. The first murder in the Bible was over jealousy. Cain killed Abel.
Amen.
Jealousy. And you talk about all this crime nowadays. Do you know that the first crime, the real committed crime, was over envy and jealousy? And believe me when I tell you, it started at home. You think all your enemies are in the street? Sometimes you better watch your own kinfolk. If you don't think kinfolk can be enemies, let mama die and leave 15 cents more than the other. You'll see kinfolk cussing, fighting over that insurance money. It's a dangerous thing to be jealous. I'm so glad that when God made the devil, he had sense. See, when God made the devil, he didn't give the devil all his power. He gave the devil some power. But the devil thought God made a mistake and gave him all of it. And he turned on God. God made Lucifer, and he was in the choir. Still likes to get in the choir, by the way. He still loves sin, you know. And God gave him all that power, but look what the devil did. You be careful about telling people all your secrets.
Right.
You don't know who's going to turn on you. See, a backstabber have to be one close to you. You can't stab a person in the back unless you're close enough to put the knife in. Your enemies can't harm you, but keep an eye on your close friend. Some things you don't tell nobody. You never know when they're going to turn on you. Suppose God had trusted the devil and said, Satan, you're all right. You're my best angel. You can have all this power. Look what Satan would have done. But God didn't give him all the power. If you're in the bakery business, don't you tell no woman about everything putting that cake. Baby, she'll learn your recipe and put you out the bakery business and swear you got it from her. Some things you don't tell. You never know when people are going to turn on you, because jealousy and envy will turn folk on their best friend. I've seen people work together on one job for 30 years and the best of friends. And soon as one get promoted, all of a sudden now they can't stand each other. Jealousy. And then jealousy will blind you to the truth about other people. When you're envious and jealous of a person, you don't want to see nothing good. See, I don't care what good they do, you don't see it. You're always looking at the downward side. You don't care nothing about nothing but the bad things. See, when you're jealous of people, you're critical, and you want a reason for not liking them. So when they make one mistake, you ride that, but you weren't never with them all the time. And I don't care how many folk brag on them and say good things, you say, yes, but. You don't know them like I know them. See, that's what you call jealousy. Huh? Like some people, they don't like to see ministers with something. Let's face it, you know what's behind it. The doctor can come riding down the street in a big old nice car. That's my doctor, their child. Politician come riding down the street, the governor in a long limousine. That's my governor there. President come riding down the street with 10 or 12 cars in front and 10 or 12 behind. That's my president there. Preacher come riding down the street in a nice car. Now, ain't this a shame? And then you start praying that old prayer, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. I mean, doesn't he represent you too? And if I came riding down the street in a piece of car, and it broke down on my way here, and folk riding by said, that's your pastor out there trying to thumb it where you said, no! I don't know it. I mean, if the pulpit got vacant and a preacher walked in here with just old raggedy suit on, the first thing y'all will holler to the pulpit committee, we don't want no jackleg. Huh? Well, then if he dress up and look nice, then now, child, look where my money going. No, not your money, but his money. When you pay him, he do what he want to with his money. But envy and jealousy will blind you. And then I want to tell you that jealousy will make you act foolish. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, 7. I don't believe jealousy will make you foolish. If you turn your Bibles to that, when you go home, you take it on your own time. Read about a young man named Saul. And the Bible said he eyed David. One of the signs that you know you're around jealous folk, they watch you. They watch you so much that they can't hardly bat their eye. They eye you everywhere you go. They peeping through the keyhole. When they can't get through and peep nowhere else through, they peep through the keyhole. And they watch everywhere you go. 24 hours, they watch you because they're jealous.
Amen.
And the Bible says, Saul eyed David. He just watched David. And you know some of the signs of jealousy? When they eye you, watch you, and when you're around, they're quiet. Because now they don't want to talk. They want to listen to you talk and pick up on what they can get. Saul, the Bible said that when David killed that giant, the women start saying, Saul has killed his thousand, but David has killed his 10,000. And Saul couldn't stand it, and he started chasing that little old boy. Here's a big old king chasing a little old innocent boy all over the wilderness out of jealousy.
Right.
He couldn't stand David. And what did David do? You don't have to be doing nothing for people to be envious. Just do what you're supposed to do, and they're going to hate you. Now, when that giant was out there talking, come meet me, nobody wouldn't move. Wasn't nobody jealous then. But soon as David went out there and killed a giant, now they all want to get upset. Jealousy make you act foolish. Haven't you seen somebody up all night? Know they got to go to work? Looking at the door and the clock. All night. And know you got to be to work at 8. And at 6 o'clock, still watching. Why don't you go to sleep? I never forget it. A lady came to my office crying, Lord, Reverend Flipper, my husband just stay out all night long. He won't come home. He just stay out. Reverend, I don't know what to do about it. Lord, Reverend, will you please pray for me? And I just kept listening to it. I noticed she wasn't no baby. I kept listening to her talk. And finally I asked her in my office, I said, how old is your husband? She said, well, Reverend, he pushing 70. I said, go home, child, go to sleep. So wherever he is, that's what he's doing. He's somewhere asleep. Might well get yours. Ain't nothing to it. Nearly 70 years old, but listen. He ain't doing nothing but dreaming. When that money run out, she gonna send him home. You might well get your rest. Listen, you can't stop folk from doing what they want to do. So why lose your sleep over the flesh? Amen. Folk gonna be doing what they want to do when you go.
Right.
One man so jealous asking his wife, baby, if I die, will you marry again? Why not? She gonna say, no, baby. But I dare you to die. Somebody gonna be riding in your car. Somebody gonna be eating at your table. And gonna be sleeping on your side of the bed. And you ain't coming back to say nothing. You don't think she can do without you? I dare you to die. He worrying about what's gonna happen when he die. Jealousy, if you love somebody, to some extent you are jealous. But don't, I notice what I said, don't be like Saul. Don't be foolish jealous. Foolish jealous is a man coming off his jaw at lunchtime, looking under the bed for his shoes and got them on. Looking all in the closet, I'm looking for my coat and got it on. You better stay on your jaw. And you see men get off their lunch hour and run home looking in the closet, looking under the bed. Foolish. You tell a woman, now, baby, I want you to look good. I want you to fix up. I want you to lose weight. And as soon as she fix up and lose the weight, then you go to holler, my, now who you looking good for? You ought to hope somebody's looking at her. I know a man that got mad with his wife and jumped on her because somebody was looking at her. Well, God, if ain't nobody looking at her, you better take her to a beauty shop. I never will forget that. And this is true. There was a blind man in Macon, used to beat his wife. Both of them were blind. He was blind and she was blind. And he jumped on, he always kind of played up to her, you know, till he got his hands on her. And you know what, he was beating that woman so bad they called the police, and I would be praying for her because she was a great singer, and we asked her, well, why'd he jump on her? He said, he told me he saw a man looking at me. Now, how did he see the man? He saw a man looking at her. Blind now. And he was so mean, he would beat his dog. He would beat that, you know, the dog. They gave him a dog. He would beat that dog so bad they took the dog away from him. That was a mean man. But let me tell you something. Jealousy will make a blind man think he sees something. I'm striking the day. Tell you about foolish jealousy. You know, when it's foolish, You know what's the bottom line to it? Ungodly. Then I want to tell you that jealousy will make you sick. You know, a whole lot of people would be all right. They could let them out the hospital if they get their mind right and get rid of all that evil, envy, and jealousy. Let's put some Bible on this. You know about a young man named Ahab and his wife named Jezebel. Old Naboth had a vineyard, and old Ahab wanted it. Ahab was a king, and this man had a piece of property that his family left him. And he said, it's not for sale because it means so much to me. But the king wanted it. And out of all the gardens in the palace, he wanted that vineyard. And he said, Naboth, I'll pay you anything for that vineyard. Naboth said, I can't sell it because it came to me from my parents. And some things you just don't want to sell.
Come on.
And you know what? The Bible said he got sick and went home and wouldn't eat, didn't want to hear no music, and couldn't sleep. And Mama Jez came walking through the house. Jezebel. And by the way, why y'all don't name nobody Jezebel? I ain't heard nobody named Jezebel. Jezebel was a mess. And you know, when Jezebel walked through the house, she said, what's the matter with you, baby? He said, old neighbor won't sell me that vineyard. But what's the matter about it? Well, I want it. She said, aren't you the king? He said, yeah, I'm the king. She said, well, what you talking about? You can't have it. He said, you don't want to sell it. Jezebel said, let mama see about it. She concocted some diabolical scheme. And she had folk to lie on Naboth and say he blasphemed against God, and had folk to stone Naboth. And she got that man vineyard and gave her husband the keys. Said, I got it. But you know what? When they stoned Naboth, the dogs came and licked up his blood. And the prophet met old Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah said, the same dog that licked up Naboth's blood gonna get your blood. I used to preach a sermon on the same dog. Years went by. Ahab was killed in battle. The dogs came and licked up his blood. 20 years went by. Old Jezebel sitting up there in a house, and somebody said, throw her overboard. Right. They threw her down on the ground, and her body burst. And the dogs came, ate up her body, left her hand and her feet. And you know what theologically I think God was saying? Be careful what you do with your hand. Leave the hand as evidence as dangerous as four rocks. And hide your hand. And he left a beat. Be careful who you step on. It'll come back. But jealousy made that man sick. You know, some folk this morning, they heard that you got a new house, and they ain't gonna eat. Somebody heard that you got some money, and they're not gonna eat. They're gonna get sick. They're gonna get off the job and have to go home because they just heard you got a promotion. Some people get sick. And you see, I can tell how some folk right here look if I brag on somebody. Some of y'all get sick. I don't know why he just gone preaching. We're talking about her. What's so special about her? Why the pastor got to be up there bragging on her? They get sick. Huh? Some people, when they hear about others' success, they get sick. When some people heard that you have had success, don't think they're all happy.
No way.
They'll tell you, I'm proud for your child, but they wish they could knock your head off. Some of the saints. Now, I'm going to close this message by telling you how to overcome jealousy.
Come on, Bishop Simmons.
This is where the good part comes in. You know how dangerous it is. You know how it will hurt you. Now let's look at how to overcome it. First, remember, accept the fact that you have limitations. Remember that some things in life you can't do. Everybody has some limitations. When you're jealous of what other people's talent, remember, you got a talent, and they got a talent, but nobody has everything.
True.
You ain't never heard of no peach tree getting mad with an apple tree.
No way. Yes,
I don't care how many people pass by the peach tree and go get apple, peach tree ain't got nothing to say.
Nothing.
You know why? Because the peach tree knows sooner or later folk gonna get tired of some apples and they gonna want some peaches.
Yeah.
Don't get mad because of other people's gift and what God gave them. They have a limit.
Amen.
And so have you.
Amen.
We all got a limit to how far we can go.
Yes, come on.
But if you become jealous of other folk, you'll say, I want all of it. Look at all that you have, and yet you got all of that and want theirs too.
Amen. You're right.
But you can't have everything. I've said this once before, and I'm going to say it again. I said it this morning. Y'all quit going around here talking about you want a man with money. And you ain't got a quarter. Here I am introducing you to a man. Here's a nice man. He ain't got no money. Well, what you got? They're Lord trying to talk about butter and both of them greasy. Don't no rich man want to marry nobody on welfare. You ever heard of rich folk marrying poor folk? Rich folk marry rich folk. Now, you supposed to be so important. There's somebody good in your life, and you don't want them because they ain't got no money, and you ain't got nothing. Use what you have, and stop worrying about other people's gift. And lastly, I want to tell you, if you want to overcome jealousy, count your own blessing. You see, listen, the reason why some people are so jealous of other people, they are so busy watching them, they don't see what they have. Didn't I tell you some folk can't enjoy a party from worrying about who didn't come? House packed, and they worry about so-and-so ain't here. But look at all the other people there. See, I told you behind it is selfishness. You want everything for you. But you got to sit down and think about what you have now and what you used to have. And when you start thinking about what you used to have and what you got now, you'll be so busy shouting and thanking God for where you come from, you won't have time to worry about Sue Blessing. You to look at your own blessing. He wants you to worry about other folks' blessing. If you don't think you come from a long ways, go back and look at the house you were born in. In fact, I bring it a little closer. If you don't think you come a long way, look at your picture 20 years ago. And you say, that's not me. You see, when I look back and see what that little church used to do for me, my first little church couldn't pay me but $96 a month. When I look back at that little church that used to fill up my trunk with collard greens, y'all don't know nothing about those days, but when the preacher was passing the little churches, I had three little churches. I had three churches. And they were once a month churches. And those folks didn't have much money. But that little old 19-year-old pastor, they would fill up my trunk with the food that they were raising off the farm. And when I look back and see what God has done for me and not giving me 9,000 members, I can't worry about some other preacher from praising God for what he's done for me. What's wrong? Why so much jealousy in our world today? We don't look back.
Amen.
You're right.
Count your own blessing. And I got to tell you that you're going to overcome jealousy when you sit down and reason this thing out. Sit down and do some serious thinking about what you have and why you shouldn't be jealous. I want to ask you a question. If you're envious of a person's success, would you be able to handle it if you had it? Yes, we envious of each other with nice cars, but if you had a nice car, what would you do with it? Oh, yes, you can't stand it because brother so-and-so got a Cadillac and you driving a Ford. But if you had the Cadillac, what could you do with it with your poor self? You want a Mercedes and the other person got a Mercedes, but what would you do if you had it? You'd be riding there hollering, "Mercy, these bills are killing me." You'd be just like that fella in Macon that drove up with that big old long Cadillac and had that big hat on his head. And he said, "Shh, give me 50 cents worth of gas." I mean, some of us want a lot of things that we see other people with. But if you had it, could you handle it?
All right.
You can't handle the Cadillac with full money. You jealous because somebody else got a big house. Could you keep up the utilities? You jealous because somebody else got a promotion on the job. But if they promoted you, could you have all those folks? You might be jealous because I'm up here pastoring this church, but could you handle this pulpit?
Amen.
If some of y'all had my job, you'd be on Good Morning America for murdering folk. You better lost your temper and shot some of these folks. Man, you couldn't deal with all these hard-headed people. You couldn't deal with all these nasty attitudes. Do you know some of the meanest folk in the world are Christian folk? Do you know some of these folk with these dresses down under the floor? They're so mean, can't nobody live with them. That means they're so mean that when the dog see him, he go run and stick his head up on his house. They'll speak in tongue but won't speak to you. And one of the greatest ways to overcome jealousy is to have real, true love. But when it's selfish love, when it's love that's possessive, when it's the worldly love, you are insecure. True love will kill all jealousy. And then in closing, I want to tell you, if you want to overcome jealousy, this is a serious sermon today, you've got to make sure Christ is the center and not yourself. Christ must be the center of your life. I know why some of you all are so hurt today. You made a God honor people. If you make your husband or your wife your idol, then the Lord gonna leave you. Am I right about it? Christ must be the center of your life. And Christ must be the center of your everyday being. The Bible says that if you love the world, you love not the Lord. If you love the world, you don't love God. How can a man say that he loved God, amen, and then love the world? Because the world is an enemy to God. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you value your man or your woman more than you value God, you're on your road to destruction. Because you made material things the center of your life. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that man is nothing but flesh and blood. That woman is made out of flesh and blood. If you worrying about that house, that's material thing. If you worried because somebody got a promotion, that ain't nothing but material. If you worried because somebody got on a better suit than you, that's material. You got to get your mind off of material things and put your mind on Jesus. Oh, Lordy, if you make Christ the center of your life, you won't be sitting up all night worrying about where somebody might be. You're so busy rejoicing in the Lord, and he'll give you satisfaction. I'm a living witness of that. If God becomes the center of your life, he'll make you happy and nobody around to talk to you. Ain't God all right? God will put joy down in your soul. And the devil will wonder what's keeping you. They'll wonder how come you're not sitting up all night. They'll wonder why you're not asking them where they've been. Telling you got Jesus and he gives you joy. Ain't God all right? I'm going to tell all you church folk that are worried today, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thy images or just the workers of iniquity. They'll soon, they got to come down. Ain't God all right? I don't care what people do to you. One day God gonna cut them down. You just leave them in the hand of God, and I know God will take care of them. Ain't God all right? I'm gonna close here now. When I tell the story was told about a mean woman. This woman was so mean, she would throw dishwater over in the child of God's yard. But you know the child of God didn't worry. She just kept on smiling. See, when you know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to prove nothing. Every morning, that old mean woman would just throw her dishwater over in that woman's yard, trying to upset that Christian woman. But you know the Christian woman didn't say a word. That mean woman, she got sick. And nobody came to knock on her door. But a bit to her surprise, somebody knocked on the door, and guess what? It was her next door neighbor, the Christian woman. Yeah. When she walked in, she had some flowers, some beautiful roses in her hand. And she presented those roses to that mean woman. She said, oh my God, where did you get such roses from? I never seen such pretty flowers. The Christian woman said to her, I'm not trying to be funny, and I didn't come over here to start nothing. But you know that dishwater that you threw over in my yard. I had some seed planted in my yard, and all this water just made my flowers grow. Ain't God all right? I don't care what people do to you, God is able to turn around everything they do to you. God is able to make the wrong folk do turn out to your best advantage. God is able to make your enemy, oh, only make them be your footstool. God is able. The very folk that used to laugh at you, they got to wait on you one day. God is able. The very folk that used to pull you down, now they got to come to your house. He's able. Anybody know he's able? If you just smile, treat them right, love them anyhow, I'm a living witness. Prayer will change things. Prayer will make your enemy leave you alone. If they throw something in your way, step on it. Keep moving higher. If they give you a left.
KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Whatever you need to do, long, do it. do it for me. In my home, on the job, if you do it, Lord, I know sickness will end. Dry up cancer, yes you will. Mend a broken heart. Do it, Lord.
Stretch out, he said, all you have to do. Was a night.